on Community Conversation on this edition. I'm really happy to have a couple of people that's going to be talking about the B-Day Festival that's going to be coming up a little bit later on this month. And it's hosted by the River Raisin Beekeepers Club. I'd like to welcome in to the program Don Warner. And Don, thanks a lot for being here and welcome.
Glad to be here.
And also we have Jenna Tucker as well. Jenna, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk a little bit about the River Raisin Beekeepers Club. And Don, I understand you were the guy that got things really started with this club, huh?
Yes, I did.
Okay, tell us a little bit how it got started.
Well, from my own failures, really, I could see where people out there that was trying to become beekeepers needed a helping hand, needed a mentor to help them get them pointed in the right direction. So that's what it was all about. I started this club hoping I could get 12 people, and I had 18 calls in the first 4 or 5 days.
No kidding, wow.
So, yeah, it went right up to about, I think, 35 people there in a couple of weeks. So, and that's been all downhill from there.
Yeah, so, the rest is history, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So pretty much you said you mentor those others, and it's showing them how to actually to do beekeeping, or what's more involved in this, Don?
Well, I started in the wintertime teaching a class out to VOTAC. That's an 8-week class. And when we're done with that, I tell them, you'll be at my bee yard here in the next 3-4 weeks whenever it gets warmed up, and I will put you in a hive. And that's the fun part for me is watching how big your eyes get.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And Janet, you were one of the people that Don mentored, right?
Yes, I am. I started beekeeping probably 3 or 4 years ago. I went through the first year struggling, connected with Don, and have been successful ever since. So he's actually a great, great mentor. Wealth of information. So.
That's wonderful, and this is really good because in order to keep that interest up, Don, about beekeeping and being able to have those hives sustainable and being able to make a go of it, right?
Yeah. If you have to be able to keep that hive alive and keep it moving forward, and with that comes a lot of enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not having a good time keeping bees, boy, you are in the wrong business.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, you fall asleep, but they're liable to wake you up.
Yeah. And with a nice surprise, right?
Yeah.
Or a not-so-nice surprise.
That's true, yeah, exactly. What got you interested in beekeeping, Janet?
Honestly, I love honey.
Okay.
That was my first draw.
Sure.
But I love real natural honey. I don't necessarily like the store-bought stuff, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And being a military spouse, moving countryside all over from here to there, I always had to find new beekeepers.
Uh-huh.
When we finally settled in Michigan, I said, I'm done with that. It's time for me to get my own and have my own honey. So that's where it all started. My husband bought me my first kit, said, here, go for it. And we've been moving forward ever since.
Excellent. Excellent. So. Now, Don, do you meet as a group then?
Yeah, we try to meet once a month. Not every month. Usually we don't meet in August. There's too much going on.
Oh, yeah.
But, and we kind of follow the year as far as what's going on in the bee world, you know, this time of the year. And we zero in on it. Like right now would be swarms.
Mm-hmm.
So. And keeping them from swarming and catching the ones that you didn't. So,
yeah. Well, and that's very important, I take it, then.
Yes. And I also raise a lot of nukes, which is a word for a baby hive, a starter hive, if you will.
Okay.
I started doing that about 10 or 12 years ago. I raised all my own queens, and therefore I have queens that can survive the Michigan winters.
Oh.
And that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Because a lot of your package bees and what have you all come out of the south because they're raising them hand over foot over there, and we're just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, they don't come up with winter coats.
Yeah.
They just don't do.
Yeah.
Don't do well enough.
They're not be able to do that like we can.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's a big difference trying to get queens that can overwinter in your part of the country.
Oh, sure.
You know, what does the bee that comes out of Florida know anything about overwintering in Michigan?
Yeah.
And how does that bee breeder in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, whatever, what does he do to try to breed a bee that can overwinter here in Michigan?
Interesting. Yeah.
So.
And very important, you know, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the one thing that before we started to do the program is that something that I didn't realize that I think Don and you, Janet, were both telling me about the fact is that as much as we do not like those little yellow things in our yards, that we have to be very careful about that and that there is a good reason to be able to keep them, especially while they're blooming and have that the dandelions have that blossom on it, right, Don?
Yes. Dandelions is the first biggest rush coming towards the bees in the spring. When the dandelion gets here, they produce a lot of nectar and a lot of pollen. And at this time of the year, your hives are getting to be the smallest that they are because there's no brood in that thing over the wintertime. So the older bees die off and the brood nest gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And this is the time of year when it turns off, you get a good cold snap, you can lose a lot of hives.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because they've run out of bees. They can't cluster enough together to keep warm.
Sure.
So when the dandelions get here, that just puts a smile on every beekeeper's face because they know that there's just going to be a lot of nectar out there for them bees to get, and they will get it. So.
But you know, the most important thing is because of the fact that we've gotten to the point with us as you know homeowners and the like is that, well, we want to get rid of the dandelions. There's a reason not to do it when the dandelion is in blossom, right, Janet?
Right, because when you're spraying the pesticides on those blooms, as the bees go and take the nectar out, they're also taking out those pesticides or the herbicides and taking them back to the hives, contaminating the hives. Killing off our bees.
Thus killing them off, yeah.
Right, right. So it's important that we avoid spraying them while they're in bloom. Do it before they bloom is actually the best because if there's no bloom there, the bee's not going to go to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or wait till after it's already bloomed and they're browning and getting ready to seed. Do it then. That way the nectar's gone and you're not taking those risks with those bees.
But we don't want to kill all the dandelions, right, Don?
No. I mow around mine to home.
Do you really?
Actually, there are a couple of communities around us who are calling for no mow May, where you don't mow for the month of May.
I've heard about
and
that.
And allow those dandelions. Now, it's nothing that is a strict, you got to follow this, but they're suggesting it to the general public to help save those bees and the other pollinators.
You know, this is really great information that I wasn't aware of before with a lot of things, and there's a good reason for you're having a Bee Day Festival, which is going to be coming up, your very first one on May the 28th, right, Janet?
Yes, yes. It's not just for beekeepers to get together, which we all love. Beekeepers love to get together and talk bees. But it's also so that we can share information with the public. We're going to have educators there. We'll have observation hives so the public can actually see the bees at work. There'll be crafters. There'll be food trucks. So it's really a way for us to get information to the public on how they can help to protect these bees, whether it is setting out a little watering station, planting the right flowers for the right timing, that kind of thing. It's an informational, educational, fun day.
Yeah.
So
So this is going to be on May 28th. What's going to be the time frame for the festival then?
11 to 5 is the time frame for the festival. We're going to be doing a honey tasting that'll go from like noon to 1.
Okay.
And then from noon till 2, we're going to be doing a silent auction. We'll be auctioning off things like a quilt and, you know, different bee-related items, some bee pollinator plants, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be something going on throughout the day. Those are the two special events that are going to be.
So where is it going to be located at?
St. John's Church, a Lutheran church right there on
M52.
Yep. Right at the corner there. We'll be in the back parking lot. And there'll be plenty going on for everybody. Games, like I said, the observation hives so they can see the bees and people to talk to. We'll be even going to have one guy roaming around in a bee suit. So
oh, no kidding.
Take a look for that one, you know, doing the bee waggle dance.
There, that's great. Well, Don, you know, this is great to be able to have something like this because it's been in the news here for a while how we are losing a lot of the bees and that we need to keep the population of the bees very healthy and to be able to increase the number. So this is going to be a good way to educate people.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And that's, if that goes back to when I started the club, it's education.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be a good beekeeper if you don't know what's going on.
Oh, sure.
Or understand why that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way now with people that aren't beekeepers to teach them about don't spray the dandelions while it's flowering. The other one is the little white Dutch clover. You see those little bitty white
flowers? Oh, yes. Yes.
Also a very good source of food for the bees. They can make a lot of honey off of that, too. And
awesome.
I mow around the patches of them, too.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But it's really great to, you know, for people that saying that, well, I'm very aware and would like to help and finding out these different ways to be able to help out to help keep the bee population
healthy.
You got
healthy.
It, Janet. Yes,
exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
We want to keep them healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And to be able to get that nice organic or natural honey that we can get from them. But also not only from that, but Jen and Don, you can both chime in on this. It's not just for the honey, but it's also for, you know, being able to keep other plants and other things alive too, because that's of the bees.
Right. The bees are going to be pollinating most of your the foods that you eat, your apples, your cherries, your blueberries, you know, that if we don't have the bees or the pollinators, we don't have those foods. So it's really important for us, food-wise, to protect these, the bees, and make sure the pollinators are safe.
Every third bite of food you put in your mouth comes because a bee or a pollinator has pollinated that plant.
Wow.
So everything we can do to help the bees help the rest of them too, such as butterflies.
Sure.
Butterflies are a good pollinator too.
Yes.
And they need to be able to pollinate something that doesn't have poison all over it too.
Yes, that's true.
So,
and the butterflies, the birds, the bats, the bees, you know, they all pollinate and they all contribute to our food.
Yes.
So we've got to make sure they're safe.
And there's, I don't know, I can't remember how many other kinds of bees there are in this country, but the mason bees is another one that does a lot of pollinating. But there's a lot of homegrown bees that you don't see a whole lot of,
mm-hmm.
and they're all pollinators.
Sure.
And there's 40 or 50 different kinds of them.
Wow. So,
but they're not in numbers like the honeybees are.
Yeah. See, I'm learning so much. This is just really awesome. And you can learn more by coming to the Bee Day Festival. That's going to be on May 28th, 11 to 5. At St. John's Lutheran Church there on North Ader and Highway, or M52. And you have on your flyer, a family day of fun and learning. That's for sure. I mean, I have learned a lot as it is right now just sitting down here talking to you in the past few minutes. So just think what you're going to be able to do in a much longer duration out there at the festival. This is going to be wonderful. And you're going to have, again, lots of things happening out there, right, Janet?
Yes, lots of activities, lots of people to talk to and learn from, beekeepers, gardeners, garden centers, the whole works. So
great.
And coloring books bee coloring books for the little kids.
Right. We'll have all kinds of activities for the kids as well.
So. Excellent. Excellent.
And get them started early, you know.
That's the way to do it, Don. Get them hooked early and you got them for life way. Yeah. I want to thank the both of you for being on the program. And hopefully, you know, it's like I said originally, I did not realize that there was a beekeepers club. And you said there's numerous clubs out there that we have one here locally in the River Raisin Beekeepers Club. So, you know, thank you so much. And I hope that we can have you back on to talk a little bit more about things regarding the club and maybe some new information that may come along the way, Don.
Well, appreciate you having us here. Helping us along.
Absolutely. Don Warner and Jenna Tucker with the River Raisin Beekeepers Club, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This has been Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gardner, and we'll talk again soon.